Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
And now, KC Johnson.
Kobe White, pull up three, over carries the vert and nails it.
Bulls insider for NBC Sports Chicago.
Give me the hot sauce!
Covering everything from the dynasty to Derek to DeMar. KC Johnson.
I've covered the NBA for a long time.
With Mullion Haugh.
Bulls.
On 670 The Score.
Mullion Haugh, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to our buddy KC Johnson, Bulls man from NBC Sports Chicago, and he joins us now on The Score Hotline. Hey, KC, how you doing?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Well, right. Congratulations. Your season is over. always a difficult thing to see the end, but given the way things ended, I guess better to leave it on the floor in Miami than have to go to Boston and deal with that train wreck. I don't see how, if you can't get through the Heat without Jimmy, I don't see how you're getting through Boston, getting a game in Boston, getting within 40 in Boston. It was a really disappointing end to the season.
Yeah, I mean, organizationally, there was obviously the desire to get into the playoffs. That was their preseason publicly stated goal. And it would have, continued from their perspective, a nice storyline of overcoming that 5-14 start. I think the fact that they did not get into the playoffs, where obviously they would have been heavy, heavy, heavy underdogs under the Celtics. But I think, just the way it ended with that, that was a very, very disappointing loss in Miami. I mean, they just did not come to play. They got completely outclassed. So I think that kind of intensified the response that we got from Arturis Karnišević on Saturday, which I thought was a strong one. An up and down season. You saw the up in the game against Atlanta, and you saw the down in the flat outing against Miami. It kind of encapsulated the whole season in the play-in tournament right there.
KC, I think I liked what AK said on Saturday. I didn't necessarily like the way he said it. I don't think you need to read from a script if you want to speak from the heart and talk to Bulls fans and tell them the state of the organization moving forward. I do think it was the first time that he said this group hasn't worked. I wonder, though, saying that and doing something about it are two very different things. How realistic is it to expect real change on that roster?
Well, there's two ways to look at that. I mean, and the two people I'm focused on are Zach LaVine and Lonzo Ball, because that's where, to me, you have wiggle room. Now, look, if he's as serious about enacting change, he's going to have to be open to other possibilities. But I would start with those two situations, because obviously I've reported, other people have reported that, trading Zach is going to remain an organizational priority and focus. And there was the thinking, closer to the trade deadline, that with him coming off of foot surgery and 3 years and $138 million left on that deal, you're going to need to see him play before you trade for him. But the league knows who he is, and if they get medical information and are comfortable with it, things happen in the playoffs where teams and franchises and owners and management get restless with what they've seen. So let's say Orlando flames out in the first round. Do they then maybe go, you know what, we need a veteran scorer. There's Zach LaVine. I mean, that's the kind of stuff and opportunity that you need to be ready to pounce upon. And then as far as Lonzo Ball is concerned, you know, obviously they need to navigate the personal and business aspects to that situation simultaneously, because that is an opportunity if he is not medically able to go, where you can get $21 million of salary cap and luxury tax relief. I mean, salary cap relief is kind of a moot point. They're going to be almost certainly an over-the-cap team, but $21 million off your luxury tax book would allow you more flexibility. Now, again, there's the human element where they're rooting for him internally to return, but those are the two areas I'd start. But, I mean, I'll throw out a crazy hypothetical and just to brace Bulls fans. I mean, and again, I want to make sure people, this is me speculating and hypothetical, but, like, if you're serious about enacting change, your three biggest positive assets right now are Alex Caruso, Kobe White, and Ayo Dosunmu. The last two, especially because of the contracts they're on. So if you are serious about enacting real change, you have to be open to a team calling and saying, hey, guess what? We'll take Zach LaVine off your hand, but we want Kobe White too, or we want Alex Caruso too. And you might have to make a painful decision on parting something you don't want to part with, just because it sets you up better for the future. So that's the kind of stuff that you have to be ready for this offseason.
And that's the most embittering kind of stuff to deal with as fans, because I think, you know, you hear AK say that the group hasn't worked and we can't roll out the same team again, and then you're going to lose someone of value. It just kind of stinks that they're in this kind of a position. And, you know, they didn't have Zach or Lonzo really most of this year. So how is that different if they're not here to begin with? It's just, you know, I don't know. It just is so weird to hear the dichotomy of the two thoughts, that you can't roll everyone out the same way and you got to look at it differently. And then you want to offer DeMar $80 million, and it's not enough because he wants the third year. It's just weird.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I would say about the roster is, like, when you're stuck in the middle, like the Bulls are,
yeah,
it's a painful exit from that. You can either just kind of keep plodding along with and staying, you know, 9, 10, and around 40, 41 wins, or you make some painful decisions. And that's what I'm trying to prepare people for. I mean, you need to get lucky, like in a draft lottery with a generational talent, or you need to trade somebody you might not want to trade to try to extract. And this is not a one off season fix either. I mean, this is a multi-tiered process where you're going to have to make significant change to pull yourself out of the middle. That's exactly where the Bulls are. So yeah, it's going to be a busy off season. It's going to be an interesting off season, like it always is. But, you know, gone are the days where it's Goran Dragic and Andre Drummond, or Javon Carter and Torrey Craig, and that's it. I expect at least one, if not more, significant moves this offseason.
How significant was it that AK shared with everyone that the Bulls' policy about going into the luxury tax would be if he feels like the team is among the top four in the Eastern Conference? What did you make of that?
I mean, it's the most specific he's gotten, and, you know, it was nice that he shared that with us. I mean, that was, you know, off of a question about, you know, the organization's history with the tax, and when would you feel comfortable, you know, presenting ownership with a reason to go into the tax? Because, you know, if they are not able to trade Zach and Lonzo was on your books and you re-sign DeMar and Patrick Williams, which he's publicly stated he wants to do, you're a tax team, and they're clearly not a top four team. So I read that as, like, you know, one of those four situations isn't happening. Either DeMar isn't re-signed, either Patrick isn't re-signed, or Zach is traded, or Lonzo is deemed medically not to be able to return. So, you know, again, this is going to be a long offseason. A lot of stuff's going to happen, but it was nice that he gave specificity to how he would present to ownership a luxury tax plan.
Any chance Oklahoma City wants to trade for Zach LaVine? I think they got more picks than anybody in the league moving forward here.
I'd be surprised by that one. I mean, you know, I would probably, if you're looking in speculation market, I'd, you know, focus on that one team I mentioned, Orlando. Detroit, you know, obviously had some interest in the deadline, although they're going through a executive overhaul. You know, I mean, another team to monitor in the, as if in the playoffs, especially with Donovan Mitchell's future uncertain, is Cleveland. Again, a lot of speculation at this point. The playoffs are an idle time in terms of trade chatter because it's all about the basketball. But these are the teams you got to watch for. Philadelphia would be another one. I mean, what if they flame out? And, you know, that's a situation where they've got cap space. So then you could maybe even trade him into some cap space. Tobias Harris is always, future is always in question there. I mean, this is just going to be the fun speculative game until we get to closer to the draft and free agency.
Help us understand the thinking with Patrick Williams coming off the injury, kind of a symbol of unfulfilled potential, high pick that hasn't really panned out. Why would the Bulls want to pay him what he's likely to want to, what he's going to demand if they are serious about moving on?
I mean, I don't think they're going to be willing to pay him what they offered him before last summer. And I think they're actually probably in a pretty good situation now because you've got a case where he is not only unproven, but coming off of another season-ending surgery. So I think you're in the driver's seat in terms of you can let the market kind of decide what his worth is, make him get an offer sheet if he wants more, and then determine if you're going to match it or not. I mean, they tried to sign him to a long-term deal last offseason, and he turned it down because he wanted more money. And while he and his agent may still play that game, I don't think the league's going to play that game because I don't think the league has Patrick Williams valued that highly. And, you know, I asked Arturis that directly and I knew he wouldn't answer it, but I said, what will be your strategy? Will you let Patrick, market set and then make a determination, or will you proactively try to sign him? My guess is that they'll do the latter, but completely on their terms, on a team friendly contract. And then, like I said, if Patrick and his representative want a larger deal, they're going to have to go out and get an offer sheet. So, he's their first pick. I do think that they still believe in him, given his D3 ability. I don't think he's ever going to be an all-star, but I think he's got, you know, potential in terms of 3-and-D. And look, they're really small without him, and he plays bigger than he is with his jumping ability and his length and his, you know, ability to block shots. So I see a future for him here. I just think it's got to be on their terms and at the right price.
So the next big date is May 12th. That's the draft lottery, and the Bulls right now would be picking 11th. They got a 9.4% chance for a top four pick and a 2% chance at number one. And by the way, there's no Wemby there. It's not like
there's not much there at all.
Well, that's what they say.
Well, there's me there, and I can be the Helen Thomas of the NBA draft. I'm back. Second year in a row, I'm starting a new streak. There was that long streak I had at Secaucus back when they had it. I basically had a hotel room reserved for me out there every year back in the post-dynasty years. So, yeah, I mean, it's always a cool event. It's gimmicky, but it's fun, a lot of hope. The whole league comes to town for that, and then the combine. So, you know, what I've been told, and I've talked to a few scouts over the last couple of weeks, I mean, you hear this pretty consistently, that you don't want a top 1, 2, 3, or 4 pick in this draft because you can really miss, but it does have value as you move through the draft, and that there are rotational level and starting level players in there. So no generational talents, but it's always some value in the first round, and it's on Bulls and their staff to find that.
Casey, I might be in the minority here, but it seems very conflicting for me. I look at Billy Donovan and I think he's a terrific coach still. And I look at what this Bulls team did without Zach LaVine. And, you know, in the final analysis, they won more games than they lost. Season ended in a huge disappointment. They were wildly inconsistent, and I didn't really like the way that AK presented the whole argument or began Saturday. So I understand the cynicism, but I don't feel like I'm all out on the Bulls because of Coby White and Io and maybe Billy Donovan. So I kind of don't know what direction, and I think depending on the day, you could talk me into either argument. Where are you on what Billy Donovan can do and where how confident you are that this roster will be one that could be potentially a top four Eastern Conference team next year?
Well, like I said, I personally think this is not a one-off season fix. I think this is a multi-tiered process. So I don't expect the Bulls to jump into the top four into next season. But I've said this before about Billy. I mean, he is as consistent of a personality as I've been around. Great communicator, not only to us, but to his players. I don't think he's the major problem. Look, when a team underachieves or has the middling record that it has had for 2 years in a row, it's shared blame. It's on everybody. But I personally think Arturis took the right stance on Saturday, and he said he praised Billy Donovan. He praised his own staff that works for him. You have three players that are probably going to, at least – well, the two of them are in the running for major postseason awards. That was announced yesterday in DeMar and Kobe. And Alex Caruso is in the running for All-Defense. So you have three players in line for major postseason awards. This is on the roster. This is on roster construction. So you can be a good coach. You can be a bad coach. If you're given a roster that is guard-heavy, size-deprived, and doesn't shoot three-pointers, I mean, how far are you going to go? So it's a shared blame situation. Is Billy perfect? No, he'll be the first one to tell you that. But I don't put Billy in terms of top three problems with this organization at all. So I think it starts with roster construction. I think Arturis owned that on Saturday, and now we're going to see how he and his staff react to that.
So I'm just kind of spitballing ideas. We were talking about this before, that Zach LaVine – you might have to eat some of that contract. You might have to, as you mentioned, give up something else to complete a trade. Or you might have to do like treasure for trash kind of deal. Like, one man's treasure is another man's trash. If some player isn't doing well somewhere, maybe you can get a deal with Zach where you're bringing someone in and hoping they turn it around. How do you handle that money aspect of making a deal?
Well, the ideal scenario for the Bulls, and I thought Trae Young was going to be in that question, and I was glad it wasn't because I'm not a Trae Young fan, and
no,
I can't see the Bulls. I cannot see in any way or fashion the Bulls trading for Trae Young. He would completely curtail Kobe and Io, and just to me is not – I mean, people say that Zach, the knock on Zach is that he isn't a winning player. Man, I mean, you multiply that times whatever for Trae Young. So – So I'm glad he was not in your question. As far as the money, I mean, your ideal scenario if you're the Bulls is what I mentioned before. You find a team that has interest in them that has cap space. I mean, the Sixers are the one that come to mind. And this is, again, how you have to see how an offseason plays out and be ready to be nimble. What if the Sixers go after people in free agency and strike out? And then they're, playing musical chairs and there's no chairs left. And there's Zach LaVine and they've flamed out in the playoffs. And there's a two-time All-Star you can sell your fans and an elite score. The reason why that would be, so such an ideal situation for the Bulls is that then you're not having to match salaries within 10%. So you could take less money back and help your books that way. So as far as the money, I mean, it is a lot, but look, how many times have we said there's an untradeable contract in the NBA and then the guy gets moved? So I know it's going to be a focus, and we'll see if it gets done. I personally, I don't know, man. I've just been saying so long this is headed for a divorce. And at the trade deadline, the thinking was this is going to have to wait a year because he's coming off surgery. I'm getting different vibes. I really think this is such a focus that for some reason, have a weird feeling something's going to happen this offseason with Zach and the Bulls.
Speaking of tough contracts to move, Vooch still has 2 years and $40 million left, but does that make him untradeable, and might that be part of the bigger change that AK was alluding to on Saturday?
I've heard of no market for Vooch. I've never heard his name mentioned. I know that, he's long been an AK favorite from the acquisition of Orlando to the proactive re-signing of him before he went to unrestricted free agency at a number that is palatable, but might not have been, offered by another team. So AK said himself, I'm open to everything. So never rule out anything, but I personally would be significantly surprised if Nikola Vucevic is not back with the Bulls.
What about just generally speaking, their style of play? In other words, where the whole league is launching threes, the Bulls have sort of partly because of the players on the roster, but they've taken a different approach.
Largely because of DeRozan, well, and if he comes back.
That's where I'm driving at. How do you change that?
Yeah, well, I'll say this. I mean, that was such an organizational focus last offseason. Obviously, the hiring of Peter Patton was celebrated and lauded, and it was all we heard during training camp. You know, I will say this in the Bulls' defense, because I heard this a lot internally in, you know, casual conversations. We've got Lonzo Ball, Zach LaVine, Patrick Williams, and Torrey Craig on the sideline. So you've got 4 3-point shooters at high volume on the sideline. Now, one you knew was going to be out all year. Two you did not in Zach and Patrick. And Torrey was in and out. But when he returned the second time, he was not right. He was playing limited minutes. He was not himself. So they envisioned Torrey making a much bigger impact, as they did Javon Carter. And I credit Io Desumu for that storyline snuffing out, because Io Desumu's play demanded his playing time. And Io Desumu shot a career high volume from 3-point range. So he kind of offset the lack of the Javon Carter impact. But in terms of the other ones, I will say in the Bulls' sense, that's a lot of 3-point shooting on the sidelines. But yes, it remains a problem and remains a math problem. And DeMar is not going to change, although he did actually take the highest volume 3-point total of his career this year. But he's more obviously going to always operate in the mid-range. You can do both. I mean, if you think back to the start of 21-22, and I know people are tired of hearing about that, but DeMar was working his magic from the mid-range, and Lonzo was making it hum from all levels, including 3-point range. So you can do both. It's on the Bulls to figure out how.
Great stuff, KC. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, KC.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
Yeah. Poor Peter had no idea that they had plucked a pick of pickled peppers.
35 games. Was that what Lonzo Ball played that season? 35 games that have
Lonzo Ball
intoxicated the Bulls into thinking and mentioning him. I cringed when I heard that on Saturday.
Yeah, I did too.
Lonzo Ball's health
that shouldn't be
being something that is factored into the hope surrounding this team is, I think, it's bad. It's a bad investment of hope.
Hmm.
But I do want to ask you about the offseason and something we heard from AK on Saturday when we come back.
All right, we'll do that next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
No, I got to do my job better. It's my responsibility. This program is my responsibility. They've been, Jerry and Michael have been really supportive, and obviously their expectation is better results. That's why, you know, diving into this off season, I put emphasis on turning this program around.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is AK from the season finale news conference after the Bulls chased out of the play-in down in Miami. Pretty interesting stuff from him.
It was. I want to ask you this because what I heard, I want to see if you heard the same thing. Essentially, what we heard from AK on Saturday was him basically starting the clock on his tenure. It's ticking loudly in his office. How much sand is in the hourglass? We don't know.
Right.
Does it mean that he has to get to the playoffs or he has to be, show some progress next year or else? Maybe. Maybe that is. Because you're acknowledging the roster was constructed in a way that wasn't conducive to winning. You're putting the pressure on yourself to make big changes and back up your words with strong action. So essentially, you're telling everyone in year five, he's been here 4 years.
I know.
Okay, he's been here 4 years. I know. That year five, you're going to finally produce some results that we all have been waiting for. And I think, yes, long time coming, but that was the biggest, that was the biggest big picture takeaway from Saturday in terms of, yeah, the coach isn't in trouble. Yeah, the roster may change, but you know what? The guy putting it together, sticking his neck out and saying, we're going to do it this way, and there was an implied or else I'm going to lose my job.
I understand that, and I heard him acknowledge that his plan hadn't worked, and I thought to myself as I heard everything go on, I just thought, wow, like the only missing question here is how ambitious are the Reinsdorfs? How ambitious is Jerry, which he doesn't seem to be very ambitious toward his White Sox. What about Michael, his representative running the Bulls? How ambitious are they?
I think Michael has shown a more propensity to be ambitious, if you will. That's the word you're using. I think Michael
but he's also
can be trusted to be more ambitious than Jerry.
Well, that's, again, I mean,
it's a very low bar to clear.
Exactly. But, I mean, Michael is the guy that stayed with Gar Forman for a while. I'm just saying, AK is a step above what the Bulls had before. He put together a team. We saw 35 games of that
team. It's a fair
point.
And
they were real good.
It's proving time for AK. This is also Michael Reinsdorf, who hit reset during a pandemic.
Yes.
So I think that, to me, suggests, even though it is a low bar to clear, he's more likely to enact real change or to be open to that more than his dad. No question about that.
Well, I mean, again, I think that, you know, and I hate to be this cynical, but you got to give me a list of everybody's contract and how much they're making and how long they're under contract and how much money it costs you to make a move.
It's well-earned cynicism. I totally respect that. You're right. That's why I think, though, one more year, they're not going to fire him now.
No, they're not firing him.
They're not firing him now.
No.
But one more year after what we heard on Saturday, you give him a chance to back up the big words. Now, you asked a really good basketball question, which I think is related to this bigger conversation. DeMar DeRozan's presence will make a lot of people happy at the Advocate Center. A lot of people feel better about next season because, you know what? People will come out to see DeMar DeRozan play out the string of his career.
He's a pro.
But is he the best thing from a basketball perspective for this team to show that they're serious about changing the way they play?
If they're going to change the way they play, they would not re-sign DeMar DeRozan.
Not at $40 million a year. Not at $35 million a year. You can't bring back a guy as your highest paid player in theory and be the master of the mid-range if you're really serious about changing the dynamic on the court. And if you are, I love everything about DeMar DeRozan, the professional, and what he's meant to this organization.
I agree.
But I just don't know if that makes sense, if that's compatible.
Let me say this. Nikola Vukovic and DeMar DeRozan together, that defines a certain style of play. If you are serious about not bringing back the same team, I think you got to make a choice there. And KC already told us there's literally no market at all.
No market for Vooch.
For Vooch. Now, you know, you don't have any control over what DeMar DeRozan does. You don't get anything if he leaves, but there are certainly places where he could go.
He could be the missing piece to a lot of championship caliber teams. He could be the ring chaser next year if he wants to be, if he chooses to be. He has said he wants to be in Chicago. Would he want to be in Chicago at their price? What you did from the AK perspective was that Did you take away some leverage by being so open about how much you want him back?
I think the other question is, if he really wanted to chase a ring, he said something like he wants to know that the Bulls are going to be in the mix. I don't know how they get in the mix with those two players with the contracts they have. Even getting rid of Zach LaVine, even if they have to make another move or something, I don't know how they're getting better because they're locked into two guys that are playing a specific way that you can't alter.
It takes a leap of faith to see a scenario where they could keep DeMar at that price. They're not moving Vooch because there's no market, and get rid of Zach LaVine and bring in somebody in place of him that complements those two guys specifically and also adds to your – and you have to add to your roster so you have some three-point shooting that spaces the floor. It's a big ask.
What's the best trade ticket they have?
Zach LaVine plus –
See, I disagree. I think it's Caruso. You could get something for Caruso.
You have to –
Period, end of story.
But if you're going to dangle – I like that verb today. If you're going to dangle Alex Caruso, you're going to have to do it with the idea of including Zach LaVine. They may be a package deal because you need to unload that contract.
My point is I don't want Caruso going because he has value. But if you have to use him to get rid of Zach LaVine, this is what we're talking about.
Do it.
Here.
You almost have to do it.
Well, that would stink.
I would think that who's the most untouchable player? I know there are no untouchables, but if you had to rank them, players you would least like to see leave, who would they be? Where would it start? Who's number one?
Probably Caruso.
I would say Kobe White to me.
For me, it's
Kobe White.
It's 1-2.
Yeah. I think Kobe White is just on the verge of taking that next step. He took a major leap this year in terms of improvement, might be rewarded for that.
I just think you got to look at age and experience and all that stuff and when you're viewing people like that. But I think Caruso has the most trade value, followed by Kobe White. But I think Kobe White would be better here than somewhere else.
I do too. I think he has more value to the Bulls.
Yeah, I think Caruso, though, would be better somewhere else than here. Or could be a
Caruso
missing
could be
element.
that missing element to a championship team. The guy who is the glue guy on a championship team, like he was with the Lakers.
Exactly.
And he could be somewhere else. And he might, again, that idea that Casey floated about including him, if you have to include him to trade Zach LaVine.
People hate stuff like that. It's just the worst thing in the world when you got to get rid of your best players because your bad players or your overpaid players are so crap.
I know. It's a terrible reality of the professional sports trade market, but it is the reality.
All right. We are going to talk to a growing legend. We are going to bring in Robbie Avila. He, of course, was Larry Blurd at Indiana State.
Yes.
And now he has moved to St. Louis, stepping up.
Do you see what his new name is?
In conference. What is his name?
S-L-U Alcindor.
Slu Alcindor. I like it. Because he's at St.
Slu
Louis.
Slu Alcindor.
Yeah, he was.
Love it.
He was.
Because of the goggles and everything.
He was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yes.
He's got more nicknames than any cat ever.
Steph Blurry.
Yeah, exactly. Steph Blurry.
I can't wait to talk to him.
Yeah, we're going to have fun. We're going to talk to College Jokic next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Larry Nerd is awesome. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar I thought was pretty creative. I mean, the goggles and then I like Steph Blurry.
Avila head and shoulder fake through traffic and floats it home.
Inside Avila, layup is good.
Avila off balance after the bump.
As Avila Hanson.
My personal favorite is Rob Wave. He's named after my favorite music artist, Rob Wave. And so just to kind of have a nickname, you know, tied in with him, has been awesome.
He loves Rob Wave, but I'm never going to give him that because I know he likes it. So I just never use that one. When his mother gets mad at him, it's Roberto Jose. So I know that when mom's upset, that he doesn't get any of those nicknames.
Where I grew up, we know we would call him Baller.
Yes.
He's a baller.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. One of the most recognized men in college basketball. Freshly signed as a Billiken after establishing himself with a great run with Indiana State and the NIT. Robbie Avila has more nicknames than anyone I've ever heard of. I like College Jokic. I think that's the best one I've seen. And What a compliment. Robbie, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, guys. Thank you guys for having me.
Well, we love your game, and we love getting a chance to watch you. How bitter was it to not get into the tournament when clearly you guys belonged in the NCAA? And how much fun was it to make a run to the championship game in the NIT as a result of being in that tournament?
Yeah, no. Obviously, when we got let out on that selection Sunday, it was a heartbreaker for sure. I know a lot of guys thought we were going to get in, but it definitely hurt. But I think it was able to kind of motivate us to, you know, try and prove everybody wrong when we were in the NIT to kind of win as many games as possible. And I think we did a pretty good job. We were, you know, 2 minutes away from winning it, and so I think we did really good coming out from that bounce back.
So, Robbie, obviously after the season you had, your coach got a lot of attention. Josh Schertz goes from Indiana State to St. Louis. You enter the portal, and you announced over the weekend, ended a lot of suspense, that you're going to join him in St. Louis. What was that process like, and how heavily were you recruited by Power 5 schools that might have tempted you to go elsewhere?
When he took the job with St. Louis, he was obviously, you know, recruited me right away. He's like, you know, I want you to come with, you know, I think we can do the same thing that that we did at Indiana State here in the A-10. And so I got hit up by a couple other schools. I kind of put the do not contact tag on me because I wanted to take some time to think. But there's still a lot of schools that reached out, a lot of big schools. But I think overall my decision came down to, you know, trusting Coach Schertz, who's the guy that got me this far these past 2 years. And I don't see why I should change now, and I'm going to trust him for these next 2 years as well.
Well, that's great, and I know that, if I'm not mistaken, your entire team entered the portal, right? I mean, did you guys talk about it when Coach Schertz left? And in fairness to Indiana State, they did offer him like a record contract extension for them, but he went to St. Louis, and he was going to go, and off he went, and Have you talked to any of your old teammates? The whole team's in the portal.
Yeah, no. I mean, we still talk, you know, every single day pretty much here. You know, obviously, Drew and Jason are going to Texas. Oh. And, I think they're going to be really good over there. You got Ryan's going to go to Xavier and waiting on what Swope decides he wants to do. We all talk every day. You know, we all wish each other nothing but success. You know, the bonds we created this year was, you know, kind of unique. And so, you know, I just know that, you know, no matter where everybody goes, you know, we're still going to be close. We're still going to probably talk to each other, you know, almost every other day. And, you know, most importantly, I think we're all going to win some basketball games for who we play with.
So obviously there's some interest locally here because the White Sox signed you to an NIL deal after the season that you had. And it's such a big part of the college sports student athletes experience now, the NIL. How did that come about? And were you a Sox fan before they're paying you to be a Sox fan?
Yeah, no, it was actually it was pretty awesome. You know, I got my guy Joseph Neary. He kind of, you know, represents me for my NIL deals and all that stuff. So he was, you know, keeping in touch with me throughout the season. He told me, like, you know, the White Sox want to, you know, sign you as one of their, you know, 12 athletes that they do. And so it was a no brainer. You know, I grew up loving the Sox. You know, my whole entire family's a Sox household. You know, we live on the south side of Chicago, so, you know, I absolutely love them. You know, no matter what they're doing, you know, I'm a big Sox fan. And so, you know, it's going to be awesome to be able to kind of represent them, you know, for college athletes and being able to get out there, you know, to a couple games too.
Yeah, you're from Oak Forest, and you were a star at Oak Forest High. And obviously, I think St. Louis is probably is the same trip from Oak Forest as Terre Haute. Are you asking your folks to travel more? I mean, it's roughly the same distance, right?
Yeah, it's about like an hour longer. It's about like 3:45 away from Oak Forest, so it's not too far. You know, my parents are big time travelers, so they'll come to every home game. They'll make it to some away games too, so it'll be a good deal.
So, I have to ask you, Robbie, did you meet Larry Bird throughout the whole process and the success at Indiana State? And what is your favorite nickname?
Unfortunately, I did not. You know, I know he's a pretty busy dude, but he did not get out to any of the games throughout the season. But you know, I tell everybody all the time, my favorite is always going to be Rob Wave. I think that's always my number one. Still trying to get it up there.
There's so many good ones, and you are a very distinctive looking player, right? I mean, for a guy mm-hmm. who's 6'10", you've got those goggles, and you've got the you know, just kind of the great game. I mean, you're almost an under-the-rim center, but you're like a stretch center. You can knock down threes. How would you define your game for us?
I think it's just very versatile. I'm able, like you said, I'm 6'10". I'm a big guy. I'm able to play in the post. You got mismatches on me. I'm able to, you know, attack that. But also, you put a big man on me, I'm able to stretch the floor and, you know, shoot threes. You know, really create space, open the floor up. I think I'm the biggest thing, you know, that separates me from other big men is my playmaking ability. I'm able to put the ball on the ground, you know, come off ball screens myself and, you know, make plays, pass, you know, to open teammates. And I think just the combination of all three, you know, the basic pass, shooting, and dribble, you know, those three skills is what separates me from a lot of other big men nowadays.
What has been the most fun part about your sudden celebrity? You burst onto the scene. A lot of people look at your career in the ascension and say, okay, 17-6, this is a pretty good college player who is going places. But you also became this sort of March celebrity. What's been the most fun part?
I would definitely say being able to enjoy it with my family and teammates. You know, we had a lot of jokes throughout the season with the team. You know, they're all, you know, see me on ESPN or see me there, and they're sending it to the group chat laughing. But just being able to see the joy it brought to a lot of people that are close to me was definitely the most fun part that I had throughout this all.
So going from the Missouri Valley to the A-10, is that a step up at all? Do you feel confident in what you can do as a player and how that will translate?
Yeah, no, obviously, you know, the MVC was a really good league this year, but, you know, so is the A-10. You know, they have a, you know, history of having, you know, multi-bid leagues, and so it's going to be really competitive. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be a hard league to play in for sure, and, you know, I'm excited. I trust in Coach Schertz and, you know, all the assistant coaches that he put together, you know, what they're going to do with the roster. You know, we're going to have a really good team to compete this year. And, you know, I think our goal is nothing short of championships, just like it were here at Indiana State.
All right, Robbie, I saw already this one tried out. St. Louis University, SLU, slew Alcindor. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I saw that one. I think that one might be, you know, it's just as creative as the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar one. You know, I wasn't thinking about that one. I saw that one, I think, on Twitter, and, you know, it got some good laughs out of me.
Oh, man, that's great stuff. Robbie, we're going to stay in touch with you. Hope you have a great year, and we'll have you on again.
Congratulations.
You're really fantastic.
All right, I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
That is Robbie Avila. He with St. Louis now. He's
St.
a Billiken.
Yeah, he's a Billiken. Good program.
Sure.
Headed to, you know, they hired Josh Schertz, so
good
this
coach.
Is why he's there.
Did a great job at Indiana State.
And everything about that season was magical to them, except for the fact that they were overlooked by the selection committee and did not get in. They should have.
And they're all gone.
They're all gone.
I mean, imagine. You, like, rebuild your program, and, oh, my God, look who we got. Bam.
Starting over gone. In Terre Haute.
Yeah.
Tough one.
Yeah, the Ramblers,
he's fun, though.
Ramblers now have another team to
yeah,
worry about.
How do you feel about that? How do you feel about
it? Well,
we've adopted him now.
For 5 seconds, he was recruited by Loyola. And I think there's a certain kind of under the basket crut to him, although his game is different in terms of being an outside shooter.
I think that's a good comparison, though.
Yeah.
He sees the floor that way really well,
right.
And he's versatile in that way.
Great player.
But you're now going to be rooting for somebody that's probably going to beat Loyola twice next year.
What, you are dreaming.
I'm just
have
saying.
You not seen what I'm the Ramblers
saying.
Have done? We got
go Ramblers!
We got the kid from NBA Africa.
But we just
Egyptian
talked to Slew Alcindor.
And we got a Russian kid.
Okay.
They're creating world peace at Loyola. Back off. Come on now.
Hey, is it Big's time?
It's Big's time! Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the school.
I keep it real.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.